throughout our Christian journey, there will be times when the enemy will take some territory in our lives, or more specifically, we may give him territory, giving him a foothold. We talk about that today as I preach a sermon out of Ephesians chapter 4. Be blessed.
As we were meeting this morning for prayer, something the Lord just was dealing with me about this morning. Some of you have seen and heard that there's some folks who are quite famous. Kanye West, Justin Bieber. I'm trying to think of, you know, some of the other names that I've heard recently. People that God has saved and has delivered from their sin and has delivered them from a lifestyle that where they sought to the indulgence of their flesh, and God is working in their hearts and is working in their life. And again, I honestly hesitate to say this, but I don't care what you feel about it. But the reality is that God is moving in our nation, and God is breaking out of what maybe our expectation is. So often when we talk about revival, brother, we think about revival happening within the four walls of the church. I know, again, I grew up in a church. We had a revival every year. Sometimes it was a revival that was even extended as God moved and as God was delivering folks and God was working in the lives of the people in a church. But often after that series of meetings and after that series of preaching and after all the excitement, within a couple of weeks, the excitement died down, and we just kind of went back to the way things used to be. And I can tell you this, that when God moves in an uncontainable way, that does not happen.
Amen.
And so my prayer is, and as our pastor just said, that we come into this moment and we see it as a sacred moment, a time when we have a privilege, and that is the privilege to open His Word and to hear from Him. That's my heart today, Lord, that as we have gathered here and as we have lifted our voices in songs and worship, Lord, as we have witnessed and heard from two folks who are pouring their life into folks, that it would be so much more convenient for them to just do the regular stuff and play the regular role. But Lord, you have called them and sent them into the heart of Mexico, and they are doing a ministry there, and they are declaring a message of freedom and restoration there. And Lord, we celebrate that. And thank you that we have the privileged opportunity today to play some small role in that. Because Lord, we recognize today that we as Freedom Church, though we can often become focused within, that we see that not only around us in our neighborhood, in our community, within the city in which we're planted, in the county, in the state, that God, you are moving, and you are moving continuously. And we, Lord, we want to be a part of that. So we just ask that you would bless our brother Steve and the ministry that he and his wife are accomplishing in your name. But Lord, as we turn to this time, this sacred time, as we turn to your word, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want, Lord, you to move, and we come with the expectation, God, that you can break in and break out, that you can restore, that you can deliver, you can do things that we could never dream possible, because you are a God of the impossible. And Lord, you will not be contained. You will not be contained in our opinions. You will not be contained in our doctrinal statements. You won't be contained, Lord, in our small group. You won't be contained in a box in which we will place you. Lord, you will break out, and we're praying that you will do that today in the hearts of your people who are gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I go any further, I want to ask you to do me a favor. We have a celebration tonight, as we call the Fall Festival. The Freedom Family Fall Festival is kind of the title we've given it to it. And we're going to have hot dogs, and we're going to have chili. Have you entered the chili cook-off? Woo! I hope you have, because we need lots of chili. But here's the thing. Pastor James has an allergy. I can't eat chili that's made with beef. I can't eat hot dogs that have pork and beef in it, but I can sure eat a lot of potato salad. Somebody bring me some potato salad. How about that? And the reason I say that is because you need to bring something. You know, we want you to bring sides and drinks and desserts to share. And that's all the time I'm going to take on that. But I told the staff this morning I was going to remind folks that I need a good hefty portion of potato salad. Oh, yeah. Ephesians chapter 4 was read before you this morning earlier in the service. And we're going to land there together, but we're going to focus on one particular verse, and in the context, obviously, this is the context of a transformed heart and a changed life that Paul is calling this church to, and he's calling us to. But we find in verse 27 a verse that has just been resounding in my heart over the past few weeks. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Some translations say it this way: do not give the devil a place. Some of the older translations, and this I asked, I did a little informal survey on Facebook, and we posted a thing, and it said, foothold. Many of you have heard this verse, is do not give the devil a foothold. Now, some people, you know, we are in an age and in a place where some of us don't understand what a foothold is. I'm a sci-fi geek. And I'll tell you what informs my life is there was a two-part episode of Stargate SG-1 that was entitled Foothold. And it was about an alien invasion. Aren't you getting excited about this? It was about an alien invasion who these aliens came through the Stargate and they took on the forms of the human beings who were in that base. They would somehow translate themselves to look like the people, and they would put the humans in storage, and they began to play roles. But the whole idea is that the aliens were going to establish a foothold on the Earth so that they could spread out. To take it out of the sci-fi context, so maybe you're not a geek like I am, and that doesn't mean a thing to you. Maybe you think of in military terms. In military terms, it's the same thing. If there is a territory that is being held by either an enemy force or being held by a friendly force, what's the obvious result of you taking missions into that is that you will establish a presence that will give you the opportunity to advance against an enemy, right? And as you take footholds and as you continue to advance, every foothold that you take, every place that you find yourself, you're advancing against that enemy. Now, in the case of the enemy, that is the devil, Satan, who is out to kill and to steal and to destroy from you, when we give him a foothold in our life, and you notice that in this scripture, and I am very sure that I read it correctly, and if you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there is no translation of the scripture, because it's not there in the Greek, that talks about the enemy taking a foothold.
Right.
It is all about us giving the enemy a foothold. We're not to give the devil a place. We're not to give the devil an opportunity in our lives, but the unfortunate reality that as believers, that we are continuously allowing ourselves, and this happens for a variety of reasons, but we are continuously giving the enemy a place, and we're giving the devil a foothold in our lives, and he is advancing. I can tell you this, our brother, I'm excited about Tuesday here at Celebrate Recovery. One of the things in my life that I'll just be honest with you, I didn't understand and I didn't comprehend was addiction and the roots of addiction and all those things. But you know, becoming involved in Celebrate Recovery and you know, serving in leadership and you know, dealing with some of the devils that try to hang on to me, I've come to understand that a lot about what is behind an addictive behavior, including my own. And in Celebrate Recovery, there are three things that are talked about and that are emphasized, and that is hurts and habits and hang-ups. And that's going to be the outline, as it is, of what we're going to talk about today. Because when we give the enemy a foothold, a lot of times it has to do with our history. It has to do with our hurts. It has to do with the habits that we've established in our life. And it has to do sometimes with the hang-ups that we allowed to exist in our life. And there, every time that we express these and every time we give the enemy a foothold or we give the enemy a place, we take a step back and invite him in, he tends to come as invited. But before we do that, I thank you, Pastor Tim, for reminding us and continually reminding us that it's National Adoption Month. This is a time that causes us to reflect on things. Well, you guys put some of those pictures. I have some pictures I wanted to show you. You know, this is Sophie, sometime before 2004. This is one of the pictures that motivated us to pursue her adoption. Wasn't she cute? Go ahead, keep going. We're going to do this quickly. There's Madeline. Poor Chinese kids in orphanages. They didn't treat them right with cutting their hair, did they? And Noah, keep going. That's my sweet little Josie as a baby. And then there's Amy and Owen. And keep going. And there's Violet. For some reason, I missed getting Rosie's picture in there. But I put those pictures up there to say this, that this is a time that we pause, in the United States particularly, during National Adoption Month or National Orphan Care Month, that we pause to remember that there are millions of children in the United States and outside of the United States who don't have the security of love in a home. They don't have the security of a mom and a dad who care. Some have been orphaned by the cruelty of war. Some have been orphaned by the ravage of the AIDS epidemic and many other things that continue to happen around this world. Many of these children have been abandoned. They've been abused. All of them are suffering. All of them are suffering due to circumstances over which they have no control. I mean, do we comprehend that? We understand that? They suffer physically. They suffer emotionally. They suffer without any real comfort or opportunity for relief or deliverance, except when people respond, as Pastor Tim and Heidi, as my family and many other families in our congregation, in our community, have made a determination and have decided not to be witnesses but participants in the life of children who need not just a helping hand but a loving arm. This is a time when I personally reflect on the incomparable value of being chosen. We talk to our kids a lot about that they are chosen. That the reason they are adopted is because they were chosen. And that value of being adopted and chosen, and in spite of the things that were stacked against me in my own life, the sinfulness, the scripture that declares that I was dead in my trespasses and sin, the scripture that declares that I am an enemy of God, that I am chosen by God. And I'm saved. And not only am I saved, I'm forgiven and I'm adopted and I am loved. I am a child of God. Are you?
Amen.
That's a reason to celebrate. It's a reason to reflect. And as children of God, when we are honest, we bring the same things that we talk about. See, our children, when they came into our home, certainly they had an increased opportunity, and you know they have a lot of love and they have a lot of provision. But every one of them, brings something into that family relationship. Every one of them bring a variety of physical, emotional, and psychological complications in their life. You know, the research shows that even children that are adopted at birth end up with emotional issues and emotional scars, even though they may have never known their mother or their father. There's an emotional aspect. There's a scar that is left there. There's a hurt. And the fact is that we can understand that, and we can think that we can do something about it. And we make every effort to provide the opportunities for our kids and for us to understand and to travel this road together. But when we think about ourselves as children of God, a lot of times we live in denial. We want to deny that there are hurts that still exist within us. We want to deny, and we're afraid to confess, that there are habits that we've established, maybe even to try to overcome some of those hurts that are in the history of our life. We want to avoid speaking to and avoid addressing and maybe even covering over with some sort of spiritual small talk the fact that we have hang-ups that need to be addressed in the life of ours as believers. You see, I'm talking about footholds. And when we talk about footholds, we talk about those places where the enemy can get a foot in and the enemy can keep us from closing a door we would rather not be opened. There are hurts. Some of you here today, I know because I've heard your testimony. Some of you bring physical and emotional, sometimes even what seems to be irrational hurts into your that have happened in your life. I wonder sometimes as I hear testimonies and celebrate recovery, and when they talk about the addicts that we hear from talk about the experiences of their life, and to everyone there are hurts. Some of them there are grave and just enormously violent and enormously invasive hurts that have happened in their life, whether it be sexual abuse or emotional abuse. I mean, just you, abandonment. You just can't imagine some of the things that are along the path of the life of this one who is getting a testimony of the hurts that informed them and the hurts that kind of established a trail and established a road which they traveled for a long time, sometimes years upon years upon years, and they established addictions and habits in their lives to try to deal with and address those hurts, the depths of the physical and emotional suffering that they had no control over. And they're trying to address them. Now see, when we as believers come to God, just like a child who is adopted, man, what a relief. A child who is adopted, and I'm speaking specifically out of, let's say, a Chinese orphanage, because that's my experience. I'm not their savior, I'm not their deliverer, I don't want you to hear that. But they are removed from a situation and a circumstance where they often don't experience human touch. They're relieved and removed from a circumstance where they many times did not know when food would come, how long they had to lay there and cry or be hungry. There are a lot of reasons for this. It could be the lack of staff or the lack of provision, but they come with hurts and scars that are established in their life because some of them laid in a 18-inch by 36-inch crib for the first 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6, 7 years of their life and didn't really get out and play. They didn't experience the hugs and the love that all of us have experienced for our moms. And you understand what I'm saying? So that there are things that are established in their hearts. Well, you know, that stuff doesn't just go away just because they're removed from an orphanage. Guess what adoptive kids do? They hoard. Because their mind is programmed to what? Believe that unless they keep something, they hide food because they don't know when they're going to be fed. Even though they have the run of the house and there's a normal food schedule and a normal eating schedule that's established, a lot of children who are adopted out of orphanage, they have a hoarding issue. And over and over and over in the lives of people who've adopted, we've heard the stories of, I mean, people wonder, where is this going and where is this going? And then they start digging and investigating, and they find huge hoards of food that the children, even though they have access to it, all they need to do is ask. They're hiding it and hoarding it. And it's not just food. It's other things. Now, I tell you that story, and I say that just because they are removed from an orphanage does not mean that the scars are gone. And it does not mean that the hurts that they have established themselves in the life of that little mind and that little heart are gone. And many times as believers, we want to deny the fact that those hurts that we have had in our past, that abuse that we took maybe when we were a child, whether it was physical or emotional or whatever, that we leave them unaddressed and we declare them unholy and unrighteous and unspiritual, and we come to think that I'm unrighteous and unspiritual if I confess that they're a reality in my life. And we give the devil a foothold. We inch back and the enemy advances in our lives, stealing our joy, taking away the joy of our salvation. I read a devotional thought the other day, and it was talking about acts of disobedience in the life of a believer. And I think you would agree with me that, you know, being in the center of the will of God and enjoying the freedom and just the wonder of walking as a child of God and experiencing the free flow of the Spirit of God in our life, I mean, there's nothing like it. But there are times in our lives when we make choices and we return maybe to old habits, or we return to, you know, our thought patterns turn to different things, and we find ourselves retreating or isolating, or, you know, even, you know, God forbid, abandoning. We abandon the church, we abandon small group, we do things to avoid the light being placed upon these hurts, these habits, these hang-ups that we establish. Sometimes we find ourselves distraught and alone, crying out to Jesus and saying, God, why have I chosen this path again? And more often than not, it's because, not because we don't trust God. It's not because we don't believe that God loves us. It's because we just allow ourselves to give the enemy a foothold. He convinces us of that. Hey, you know that nagging inside of you, those things that are inside you. You know, and all of a sudden we look around and we say, man. On the radio this morning, a gentleman another devotional that I was reading. A gentleman gave witness to the fact that sometimes when the enemy creeps in or the enemy gets a place in our lives, we become numb, we become ashamed, and we become fearful. And the very God who wants to deliver us, the very God who wants to relieve us of that shame and relieve us of that burden, the very God that has made provision and is reaching to us, is the song that we sang, that goodness is running after us, that God is pursuing us, the very God who pursues us, we try to hide from Him because we are convinced by the enemy that He doesn't want anything to do with you. You see, their hurts and their habits and their hang-ups. In the context of the Scripture, we're going to close here in just a second. In the context of the Scripture, Paul, writing the Ephesian church, he named some things. He named some things that are described as, you know, he describes the Gentiles as being darkened in their understandings and futile in their thinking. And he says, I insist that you no longer live in that way. That you don't live in darkness, that you find yourselves alienated from the life of God because of ignorance, because God desires to know you and for you to know Him. Don't allow your heart to be callous, he says, because they are callous, they have given themselves over to all sorts of indecency for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. You know, the glorious truth is that if there's a hurt within us that needs healing, God intends for it to be healed. The glorious, the wonder of the grace and the mercy of God is this, that if there's a habit that is established in our life, and, you know, this may happen through Christian counseling, it may happen through a Celebrate Recovery a group and a recovery process, whatever the case may be, that God has made provision and desires for you to be free from that habit, to be free from that bondage, that the enemy has established that foothold in your life, and He wants you to be free so that you can come to Him and be and confess and realize and recognize the Galatians 5:1 reality to be an imitator of God as beloved children. You see, that's God's provision. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy. That we will walk in oneness with Him. That we will walk in oneness with Christ. And we won't have to worry about the hurts. We won't have to worry about the habits. We won't have to worry about the hang-ups because we have become free in Jesus from them. This morning, as I reflect on the freedom that God intends and the desire that He has for me and for you. I think about the wonder of it all. That even in the times when we have painted ourselves into a corner once again, or we have found ourselves, quote unquote, falling off the wagon, and I'm using those terms in some sense loosely, and we have given the enemy a foothold, that the power of God can take that territory back like that.
Amen.
You see, the enemy whispers to you, it is hopeless. The Spirit of God says, I am your hope. The enemy whispers to you, you're a liar. The Spirit of God says, I am the way and the truth and the life. The enemy whispers to you that God doesn't care. The Spirit of God declares that God's love is everlasting.
Amen.
And nothing will separate us from the love of God. The enemy will whisper to you that you are bound. God's Spirit says you are free. The enemy will whisper to you and into that time or into that place of the foothold that you've given him in your life, he will whisper to you and say, you are mine. The Spirit of God declares you are a child of the King.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We have arrived at this time and this place. And I've prayed and I've thought a lot about how to close our time together, this precious, grace-filled time. I want us to do this. There are folks here, man, you have identified with something I've said today, and you said, you know, bless God, I have the victory. And there have been times in my life when I have given the enemy those footholds, but God has demonstrated and shown me in my life that I can walk in a victorious way, and I need not worry about the whispers of the enemy because I trust the truth of God. Then there's someone here today, probably many, who say, you know, Pastor James, right now in my life, I've been in retreat and I've given the enemy a lot of territory. Today, I need to experience the freedom that only God can bring in my life from this thing. There's someone here today. I showed those pictures of my precious children before they were adopted. They were in a quote-unquote hopeless situation until the eyes of couple of human beings who had the ability and had the desire to see them freed from that. The eyes went across that computer screen and said, you know what, God, you want me to go and get that little girl. You want me to go and get that little boy. And God's provision is great, and He made provision, and they are in our home. Some of them are here this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, they are chosen and they are loved. Some of you are in that place right now. You're like a waiting child. That's what they call it. You're a waiting child. And God's eyes are on you, and He's saying to you this morning, you are chosen. You're chosen. I love you. Come experience my grace and my mercy. Don't allow the enemy to whisper to you that you are worthless or you are bound. You are free today because of what my Son Jesus came and did for you on the cross. We church people call it being lost. And then we call it, when we place our faith in Jesus, we call it being saved. You need it today. So I want to do two things or three things. I want Chrissy and those folks who sang that special, are you guys still in here? Or are they? Wow, look at them. They're behind me. I'm going to ask them to sing that song again. What a, I tell you, that lyric is last evening as I married that track with that lyric video, and I read those lyrics over and over. My word, what a beautiful message. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Oh, precious Redeemer and friend. I have reason to be thankful today because that wonderful, merciful Savior saw me, chose me, saved me, and brought me out. Do you want that this morning?
Amen.
Do you want it?
Amen.
Do you want to stop giving the enemy a foothold? Do you want to be set free from a life that is without hope? I want the pastors that are in the room. Brother Steve, would you even help us out today? There's going to be three or four folks who are going to be at the front of this room today. And as they sing, we're going to be ready to hear. Listen, I want you to hear it closely. We're going to be ready to hear your confession. And we're going to be the mouthpiece of God to say to you, face to face, don't listen to the enemy. Hear me today. You are forgiven. You are free. Some of us need to hear it. So as they sing, we're going to be here down front. If God, His Holy Spirit, is moving upon your hearts, if you have a foothold that you need to confess, that you need to be set free from, we're here to hear it. We're here to pray with you. We're here to trust God with you. If you need to be saved today, if you need to be set free from that sinful lifestyle that you have chosen for so long, if you need to experience the new life that only comes by trusting in Jesus, you come to us. We're ready to pray. We're ready to pray.
Surely each and every one of us must recognize that we have authority through Jesus Christ, and in His name, we can declare the enemy powerless. We can take that authority and we can redirect ourselves and find ourselves walking in freedom and victory because of who God is and His Spirit dwelling within us. Be encouraged today. Take back that territory. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you and keep you in bondage. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us.